Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Last week, we began playing for you the first part of a message by Bishop Dan Garlitz during our recent Fresh Oil Conference. Bishop Garlitz's message was entitled Called to Stretch, and he read his text from the portion of Scripture in which Jesus asked a man with a withered hand to stretch his hand forth. Bishop Garlitz began laying a foundation by explaining how beneficial a functional hand is and how hindered we are when our hand is not functional, and likening this to aspects of our life in which we are emotionally hindered or spiritually hindered. In just a few moments, we're going to continue playing the audio from Bishop Garlitz's powerful message, Called to Stretch. But first, I want to say a big thank you to Senator Joe Manchin for the prudent and wise approach that he took to the Iran nuclear deal. And I want to thank him profusely for deciding to vote against this terrible Iran nuclear deal. My friend, Bishop Ed Harper from Huntington, West Virginia, has written an op-ed piece for his local paper, and I am in the process of writing one for our paper. But in the meantime, I'd like to read you the op-ed piece that Bishop Ed Harper wrote. Letter to the editor. 34 years ago, I met a young man of vision who was armed with a driving desire to improve the general welfare and education environment of the roller coaster energy extraction economy of West Virginia. Joe Manchin III, armed with a degree in information management, took his business prowess and understanding of the then list of considered facts about West Virginia and launched into the arena of public service, determined to build on the successes of our state's past and learn from our state's obvious blunders to develop a reasonable process to roadmap a brighter and more secure future for all of his West Virginia citizens. As you know, his skills and insights into challenging situations moved him from the West Virginia House of Delegates to the State Senate, the office of the West Virginia Secretary of State, the Governor of West Virginia, and now he is serving the state and the nation as the senior senator from West Virginia in the United States Senate. Recently, the President of the United States of America, the most powerful nation in the world, lent this nation's influence to five other nations, attempting to balance the scales of power by negotiating and brokering an agreement with the terrorist-promoting radical religious regime of Iran. 99 senators, including Senator Manchin, had voted to have approval authority over the executive decision agreement that was attempting to weaken the financial sanctions that the Senate had invoked against Iran due to Iran's continued sponsoring of terrorism that has been destroying the Middle East peace and prosperity, slaughtering and maiming humanity, and pushing to develop nuclear weapons for terrorism and war. The end result of that Senate decision forced the President to submit the agreement to the Senate and the House of Representatives for a vote of approval or disapproval of the Iran nuclear agreement. To say the least, the administration put inordinate pressure on all the members of his political party's members of Congress. When the West Virginia general public, through the news media, became aware of what was happening and the amount of money, $150 billion, that was being freed up for Iran's terrorist machine to have access to, Senator Manchin's phone began to ring. As a result of your voices, your senator responded. When holding state offices, his efforts were always about what was best for West Virginia. His philosophy of what is best for the state is now translated into what is the best we can do for West Virginia and the nation. As we all know, Senator Manchin has never shied away from the tough decisions. Senator Manchin did not play politics with this issue. His approach to the Iran nuclear deal was thoughtful and prudent. The easiest and most politically convenient approach would have been to speak out against the deal from the start. You can be proud that Senator Manchin acted like a statesman. He hosted multiple open town halls across the state to hear directly from his constituents. I personally attended two of the town hall meetings, one in Morgantown and the other in Charleston. He was always upfront about his thought process and his concerns. Senator Manchin took the time and made the effort to hear from as many people as possible. While the rest of the Senate was on a six-week break, Senator Manchin chose to read and digest the agreement, as well as attend all of the intelligence briefings and meetings he possibly could, to ask all the right questions of our intelligence agencies and the administration. He quite possibly was the best informed member of Congress about the Iran nuclear agreement. These public town halls were beneficial and educational. Senator Manchin listened to West Virginians, answered their questions, and considered their input. He was one of the only senators in the country to listen and speak directly to the citizens on this issue. CNN reported that the president called Senator Manchin last Monday night to pressure him to support the Iran nuclear deal. Senator Manchin announced his decision on his first day back to D.C. that he had taken all the facts into consideration and he could not support the Iran nuclear agreement. Some of the reaction to Senator Manchin's decision may be political theater, but he has never played politics with important issues like the Iran nuclear deal. I wanted to share with you why I take great comfort in having a genuine American statesman like Joe Manchin III as my United States Senator from West Virginia, Edwin Harper, Huntington, West Virginia. I share Bishop Harper's sentiments, and my heart is filled with gratitude for Senator Manchin's thoughtful and prudent manner of conducting his investigation, and especially for reaching the right conclusion. He started off leaning toward supporting the deal, and in the end, honestly, changed his mind, which is something that too few Americans are able to do. God bless you, Senator Manchin, and thank you for voting against this terrible Iran nuclear deal. And now, as promised, we're going to continue the audio from a message entitled Called to Stretch by Bishop Dan Garlitz, delivered at Fresh Oil Conference in Clarksburg, West Virginia.
So there are a whole myriad of many things that you could ascribe and say that the hand symbolizes. This man had a withered hand, and Jesus picked him out of the whole group that was there in that synagogue. I feel like the Lord would say to us today, as Brother Seitz has already so eloquently talked to us about, that maybe you have come with labels on your own life and in your own mind. And the Lord would say, I want to single you out here on this weekend of Fresh Oil Conference. I want to put my finger on you. I want to call you out from everybody else in the building as if you are the only one here. And that everything happens. When the preacher got up this morning, he said, I want to preach to all of you, and I hope that I say something for somebody here. I don't know how many times I have gone to the house of God into meetings just like this, and with a transparent heart said, God, I'd like for it to be like I'm the only one here, and let everything the preacher says today be for me, because I need the bread of life. Amen. Hallelujah. This hand symbolized so many, many things. It would appear from the writer that this man was not born with a withered hand. It would seem to me that from the writer, and this story is in two of the Gospels, and it would seem to me like in the recording of both instances that this hand was withered because of some disease or because of some accident or some tragedy or something that had happened in his life. Maybe it was a work-related incident. A friend of mine was a mason by trade, and he was several scaffolding high laying bricks, and he had the scaffold fastened in what we would call a dead man for support. And the support of the dead man gave way, and it tipped the scaffold, and he fell head first down into a concrete stairwell. And Needless to say, the damage to his body was horrendous. Oh, could it have been some disease that he picked up? Whatever it was, we don't really know. We just know that he was there in the synagogue that day and Jesus was there. We need to understand that when we are together as the body of Christ, that Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. And that he is interested in every last one of us individually as well as he is interested in us collectively. And maybe you're here today, and because of some accident or because of something that happened to you, a disease or whatever, though it was unintentional on your part, nevertheless, your hand has become withered or your hand has become immobile. You're still attached. You would not leave the church. You would not walk away from the church because you know that would be spiritual suicide, and you show up every Sabbath day with a withered hand. This conference, the Lord God of glory wants you to realize and understand that he is here just for you. You see, he wasn't born with a withered hand. I want to tell somebody here today, you weren't born a pedophile. You weren't born addicted to pornography. You weren't born a liar or a thief. You weren't born a homosexual or a lesbian. I don't care what they are saying to us today and trying to make us believe. It's all about the disease called sin. And we were born in sin, the scripture says, and shapen in iniquity. And sin is what has deformed the lives of our great country. What America needs is not more money to throw at our social problems. What America needs is a land sweeping revival. I'm happy to tell you today that there's a remedy for the withered hands in today's culture. I'm reminded of the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel to tell you today that somebody here in this audience, you know who you are. You weren't born that way. You weren't born depressed. You weren't born to live with panic attacks. You weren't born to live every day anxious. You weren't born with aborted dreams and lost visions. You weren't born with a history of disappointment and failures, but life happened. Just like the two frogs that fell into the can of cream, life happens. Job couldn't figure it out. My wife and I just recently finished reading the book of Job, and the refreshing in the reading of that story was so illuminating. Life happens. And life is, I wish I could say it, but I didn't have to say it, but I do. Life is not fair. And while I'm on the issue, God's always fair, but life's not. While I'm here, I hope to go down the road just a few miles, and there's a nursing home. I think the name of it is Genesis. Perhaps, Brother Joseph, you've been there on occasion in Fairmont. And housed in that nursing home from a horrific accident is my nephew, paralyzed from right here down. I was with him and his father for surgery in Ruby Memorial last week. His life consists of just laying in bed virtually day after day after day after day. Life's not fair. And when life treats you unfair, and when things happen that you never even in your worst nightmare dreamed or imagined could happen, you have a tendency to say, I'm going to stay in the church because I want to make heaven my home, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm just going to stay in the church and live with my withered arm. God has allowed us to be together for this weekend, and the Holy Spirit is offering a call for you to stretch. You can let yourself drown in the cream, or you can keep on paddling. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. When life treats us unfair, when events and circumstances come to us that we never planned on, we have a tendency to quit dreaming. We have a tendency to quit reaching. We have a tendency to quit expecting, and we just settle down into an existence. I'm at a seasonal change in the ministry of my life. I almost have to pinch myself to think that I retired from being a pastor. It was the most wonderful celebration, far more than anything I ever deserved. And my wife, as they celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary and our pastoral of 25 years and ministry of 45 years. Now what do I do since retirement? What will happen? Will I just find myself in a crowd on the synagogue? Or will I say, God, this is a seasonal change in my life, and I'm not going to be one of those guys, Brother Harper, that call you up and say, I'm passing through Huntington this week. You need somebody to speak Sunday? I'm not going to be one of those guys. If God wants me to preach in Huntington on Sunday, He'll put it in the preacher's heart to call me. The point that I'm making in the seasonal adjustments of life that bring change to your life, and I've learned since I'm looking at the close side of 70 that things are different in my life than what they were when I was your age, Brother Seitz. You see, Brother Harper and I used to be youth presidents too. Didn't we, Brother Harper? Hallelujah. And he was a great one. What I've come to tell you today is that Jesus noticed, number one, Jesus noticed the man. Second thing that he did was he called him out. And I believe that I can say in sound assurity right now that the Almighty God is calling us out. Yeah. He's calling us out as a church. Yeah. I attended a meeting just a few days ago, Brother Joseph, and the preacher got up and for 1 hour he berated the congregation and told us that how great the church used to be and how bad the church is now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to report to you that the best years of the church are going on right now, right this moment. The greatest revival that's ever happened worldwide is going on right now. You know what the Bible says? It says the ending of a thing is better than its beginning. And when you read the Gospel of John, I believe John writes allegorically all through his Gospel. And when he records the very first miracle of Jesus, what does he do? He saves the best for last. I'm going to tell you, if we're in the end time, and I believe we are, I believe we should expect the best for last. And if you've been injured, if you've been wounded, if life has been unfair, Jesus is calling us out to a brand new relationship and experience with Him in revival. When he called him out, Brother Godwin, he said, first of all, stand up. You don't have to do that. I'm saying what Jesus said. Thank you for being obedient. He said, stand up. Come forth. That's what he did. Called him out. My daddy used to do that. Man, he called people out all over West Virginia. They're scared to death. Brother Sykes, when my daddy was evangelizing all across West Virginia, they just announced he was coming and have revival. I understand that Brother Aaron Bounds put his picture up on the screen at Youth Congress, talking about mantles. Called him out. And he called you out? Yeah. And so the man comes forward, and there he is with that withered, crippled arm. Brother Joseph, what do you think went through his mind when he called him out? Oh, I just feel to say something. Don't disqualify yourself thinking that God can't do something great in your life. I got a withered arm. I've suffered with disease. I've been in an accident. All these things have happened in my life. And if you're not careful, Gideon disqualified himself. When the angel of the Lord said, I showed up and said, you're a mighty man of valor, Gideon. Gideon said, oh, you made a mistake. If God is with me, where's all the miracles? You know, I heard about all the miracles back in the 60s and the 50s and the early birth. I heard about all of that, but where's God now? You know, if you listen to you're better off not to listen to the news sometimes. If you listen to everything that the prognosticators are trying to tell us that's wrong with our society today, including some preachers, you'd almost feel like we'll just sit and wait on the rapture. We'll tread water. But this is not a time to just sit back and try to mix and find yourself lost in the crowd. It's time to step up and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? Quit disqualifying yourself. Let me tell you what. God said, I'm looking for a king. He rejects Saul, and he said, I'm looking for a man after my own heart. And you know how Jesse brought his boys all in, and Samuel was, man, he didn't get a positive anything from any one of them. Until finally he says, are these all your boys? Yeah, well, I got one, but he's disqualified. He's out taking care of the sheep. I disqualify him. His own daddy disqualified him. You know, sometimes you got to step out from the crowd, irregardless of what your wife says, your husband says, your mommy says, your daddy says, what your family says. Stand forth. His daddy disqualified him. Samuel said, send and fetch him. I won't sit down. I remember Mark Hamby preaching years and years ago when I was just a young boy preacher. Preaching about, we will not sit down till he comes. David later, I remember a message preached at district conference a few years ago called Carrying the Cheese. David's going to carry a refreshing lunch and goodies and things to his brothers. He gets there and guess what? His brothers got the spirit of their daddy. What are you doing here, you young man? You're out of place. You need to be back home with the sheep. This is men's business. Let me tell you what. I want to say that faith is contagious, but so is doubt. You're disqualified, David. You don't need to be here. And David hears the challenge of Goliath, and he says, I'll go fight him. He goes before Saul. What does Saul do? Saul disqualifies him. What makes you think you're capable? Saul's the one that ought to have been doing it. Yeah, he's head and shoulders taller than everybody else. And so Even now the king is disqualified. And then when he gets down to face Goliath, Goliath sees him coming and he recognizes the shepherd boy a mile away. And he said, am I a dog? What are you doing down here with your sling? I know what you do with that sling. You run off the critters that want to come among the sheep. I know what you do. And the devil will try to disqualify you. And if you'll listen to him, he'll do it. Everybody tried to disqualify him. But you see, David said, you come against me with your sword and spear. There's something that I got is bigger than your sword and your spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. One writer said that everybody else thought Goliath was too big to hit. And David thought he was too big to miss. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great big opportunity. It's too big to miss, Brother Brian. The revival in this last day, the revival of the 21st century, is too big to miss. Don't let yourself sit in the church with your withered hand. Let Jesus call you forth. And when he calls you forth, he's going to change your life. Come on, let's everybody just love the Lord a minute here. I'm just about done. Come on, let's love him just a minute right now. Come on, let's give the Lord some worship and love right now. Stand forth. Stand forth. Our musicians, come back. Everybody stand with me right now if you would. When this man with the withered hand was called out from his secret place where he had been just hiding and hanging out, treading water, just an existence. He wasn't gonna separate himself from those that showed up in the synagogue every Sabbath day. He's just going to hide, try to hide in the crowd and just make it. And Jesus said, come here. And then he did something that was impossible. He said, stretch forth your hand.
Wow.
He asked him to do the impossible.
Wow.
I want to believe that in this weekend, that God is going to ask many of us here to do something that is impossible. With men it is impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. He said, stretch forth your hand, Brother Sandy. Stretch. When I was running 20, 30, 40, 50 miles a week a few years ago, I picked up Runner's World, and there was a whole article about the advantages of stretching. You see, the Lord spoke to Israel in the writings of Isaiah. And here's what he said. He said, I want you to enlarge the place of your tent. And I want you to let them stretch forth the curtains. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. He said, spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt, if you'll do that, if you'll stretch. I'm challenging somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. If you will step out from your place of just existing in the body of Christ, and you will hear the voice of the Lord, throw off that label that disqualifies you from being able to receive anything new from God, and say, this is not just a fresh oil named conference, but this is a fresh oil experience in my life. And when I leave,
thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.